And you know, most people, like we talked about last week, we categorize people, we label them, then we dismiss them. I'm going to put you in a category and label you, and then you're dismissed. And that's how we go through our life. And then we end up and we think, whoa, what are we doing? We're judge, jury, and everything, guilty. Everybody's guilty. When God says, hey, I'm going to pour out my grace upon you, and there's nothing greater than my grace, nothing greater than the blood. And so he reminded me, because this is what he was reading this morning, and he was in Isaiah, and he says, do not remember the former things. How many of us go back and live in the past and just go, you know, what if I hadn't have done this, this wouldn't have happened. We don't know. We don't know if we hadn't done this, this would have happened, or if I'd have made this decision, a better decisions in life, or like me and Bill were talking about, we're not good at saving money. You know, we could have been millionaires by now. We don't know that. But look at all the good, being a father or being, you know, being a husband, being a wife, whatever. Look at all the good you bring into the world by bringing the light of Jesus. And nothing else to encourage, like Bill picked up some dude on the street today and took him in, said he was shaking like a leaf because he needed that bottle or he needed that fix. If nothing else, then just being the light of God, light of Christ, going around and saying, listen, I'm a witness. I'm a witness. And so he's saying, do not remember the former things nor carefully consider things of the past. Forget about it. You know why? Because he's forgotten about it. If he's forgotten about it, why are we thinking about it? He's forgotten about it. And he says, behold, and this is what I love about our God. How many of you guys like new things? Got a new car? How many of us like new things? Yeah, that's why we work, right? Because we like shiny things. That's why I say I like shiny things. That's why I still work. We like new things. He says, behold, I will do something new. New is exciting, right? New is exciting. I'm going to do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the wasteland. Think about that. What can God not do in your life and in your situation? What can he not do? He can turn it around like that. In the blink of an eye, you wake up and you go, wow. Are you for real, God? Because God is good. Amen. Amen. He brought us up out of the miry pit. We were sinking. He brought us up out of the miry pit. He put our feet upon a rock. That rock is Jesus. Amen. He established our steps. He said he put a new song in our mouths. Praise to our God. And many will see it. Many will see it. So why do we come in here and gather? Why do we come here? Because the world's against us. We only got one that's for us. And we need to hear about it. We need to hear it, hear his word. That's why we come. We need to hear his word. We need a place that's safe. We were talking about this the other day. I was talking to Joy just yesterday. Said, you know, you grow up, and I was giving him an analogy. My kid's like three now. Charlie, C3. I call him C3. There's Charles Hike, me, and then there's Charles Hike Jr., my boy, and then there's Charles Hike the third. So I call him C3 instead of C4. He already had another boy, and he didn't name him C4. And I'm like, come on, man. He named him Noah. I'm like, Noah? Come on, man. Noah's old, dude. That guy's got a boat somewhere. But anyway, we were talking about C3, and I said he's the most loving little boy you've ever seen. He cares about people, loves about people. And now he's going to, like, preschool, and he's getting taken advantage of. So this is why men, we get this barrier we put up, this big wall. You can't come in here because I've been hurt before. I've let my heart be soft before and it got stomped on. And I've trusted people before and I got abused by it. And I got deceived and I got manipulated. So no, you can't really know who I am. We put up this big wall. But don't do that with the Lord, because he sees your heart anyway. We can be rough on the outside, guys, and we can be tough. And we can be a formidable person. And that's what we want to be. You know, a good man is a weak man. We want to be a dangerous man. When you're dangerous, you have value. Not dangerous that we're going to go around and start stuff, but if stuff starts, we can finish it. That kind of dangerous. A dangerous man is a good man. Jesus was a very dangerous man. But he chose to be humble. He chose to go to the cross. Amen? He didn't have to. He could have said, you know what? You religious people, I'm done talking to you. Bye-bye. Flames. Flames and ashes, like Sodom and Gomorrah. But he chose to have grace and mercy. And this, when we talk about the fear of God, we're talking about understanding who he is. Not that we're scared of him, because he loves us. But we have to trust. We have to trust that love. We have to trust that he is a good father. And sometimes we don't see it because the enemy says, see there, if God loved you, you wouldn't be in your situation. If God loved you, you wouldn't have this problem. If God loved you, you would be a millionaire and you'd have all your problems and you'd have credit cards and unlimited amount of money and you wouldn't. You'd be miserable. You'd be miserable. Because that's not where we get our contentment from, our peace from. So let's pray again, and then we'll go into the Word. I already preached that one sermon. We can go home. Let's pray again. Father, we just pray for, this is not for show, Lord. It's not for anything else than that, Lord. We just want to know you deeper. And we just don't understand the grace and the mercy and the love that you have for us. Help us to understand it, Lord. Help us to see it in our own lives. Open our eyes that we can see you more clearly. You know, get rid of all this stuff that we don't need. And help us to understand that all we need is you. And Lord, that you've got good things for us, just like it says in Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you, plans of good, not evil, to give us a future and a hope. Amen? Amen. So we're in Galatians. I'm going to try to go through Galatians 4 real quick. I know it's Father's Day and you guys want to get something to eat. You know, I tell people it doesn't take a lot to please a man. It really doesn't. You know, tell us you love us when we come in the door, give us a kiss, cook us a meal. We're good. Hey, we don't need anything else. We're content. We're happy, you know. And so growing up, embracing freedom. Growing up is all about embracing freedom. Okay. When you're a kid, let me read Galatians 4 for us. But when you're a kid, everything is pretty much set out for you, right? Your mom puts your clothes out. Hey, this is what you're going to wear today, and this is where we're going to go today, and puts you in the minivan, or what we call around here the Suburban, which is called a BMW, a big Mormon vehicle, a big Mormon van. Or it's called, the Suburban in Utah is also called a MAV, a Mormon assault vehicle. You've got all your kids in there, and you've got the mom driving about 100 miles an hour. Got to get everybody to soccer. Got to get everybody to the games. Got to get everybody back to the baseball. Then we got to get everybody home because we got to cook a meal because we can't afford Mickey D's for 12 kids. I'm not lying. So anyway, growing up, embracing freedom, it says in verse 1 through 3, now I say, that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. So you're a child. You're an heir to the throne, but you're no different from a slave. Instead, you're under, it says, instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. And Paul's just making an analogy that you could be the heir to the kingdom, but you're still a child, so you still have to have a guardian. You still have to have somebody to tell you what to do, a trustee. This was the old law. This is why we looked at it, and this is why the Moses' law was given as a tutor and as a guardian. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Don't do this, don't do that. If you don't do this and don't do that, I'll bless you. If you do this and do that, I won't bless you. And we see under the old covenant that God's love was conditional. If you do this, I will bless you. If my people will humble themselves and pray. We see that all over Facebook and TikTok and social media nowadays, people taking the Old Testament prayer, if, then I'll bless you. New Testament, God's going to bless you anyway. Well, I didn't do anything. Well, you don't have to. You're a child. You're a son now. So he goes instead, he says, he is under a guardian till trustees. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved under the elements of the world. What are the elements of the world? Just what we're talking about. The laws, the regulations, the elements of the world. And when we've grown up, we no longer need Moses. Okay? We no longer need a tutor or a guardian. We're no longer a slave to this. We've grown up into, specifically, grace. So Ephesians 4:4-5 says, when the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so he might receive adoptions as sons. Now, you ever wonder why when you read your Bible, you go like, man, Jesus, woo! That was rough what he just said. I don't know if I can do that. Remember, when you read your New Testament, Jesus is under the law. Example, the Lord's Prayer. Everybody says, oh, perfect prayer is the Lord's Prayer. No, that was a prayer that was under the old law. Look at it. It's conditional. If you forgive, Lynn. God says, if you forgive, Teresa, I will forgive you. If you don't, neither will I forgive your trespasses. What? That's old law, guys. That's, remember, everything Jesus is saying is under the law. Remember when he healed people, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. Why I got to do that? Because that's the law. And Jesus fulfilled the law. He said, I got a better way. I got a better way. I'm going to go up on that cross here, and I'm going to shed my blood, because remember, there's no forgiveness of sins without the what? Shedding of blood. Now you and I, we can cut ourselves and shed blood all day long. It's not going to do anything. But God himself, holy blood, untainted, sinless. The lamb that was slain is the lion that now reigns. His blood forgives us. Not some special prayer you pray. God, please forgive me. I sin. Yeah, I already know, dude. Yeah, I knew you were going to do it before you did it. What? Yeah. Well, am I forgiven? Well, are you under the blood? I believe, yes. I believe in you by faith. Well, then you're forgiven. Huh? It's that easy. And that's why people don't want to hear it. It's very offensive. It's just like my friend. I guarantee you right now there's people making fun of him. John. Because, oh, he was the guy that did those horrendous things. The former federal agent that went to jail for 5 years. How dare he stand up in front of people and preach how to be good? And we're not preaching how to be good. We're preaching about the only one that was good. I'm not standing up here saying you need to improve your life, Joey. You need to improve your performance. You need to do this, this, and this. And you need to get your act together. And then God will love you. No, that's a lie from the pit. God said, believe, and have faith in what I've done for you. And you know what happens to us, guys? Is when we don't, when we start getting back under the I got to do something law, what we're basically saying is, I don't trust you, Lord. I don't trust you. I got to do it myself. We're saying, I don't really have faith because I got to do something over here. That's what we're saying. And God's saying, do not fall from grace. Paul's going to later say, Daxton, I know, brother. Preach it up there. Preach it up there, brother. So Jesus was born under the law to redeem those under the law so we might receive adoptions as sons. We'll include you daughters too. So when did the new covenant begin? Now see, here's where we go wrong. You know, and if you'd asked me years ago, I've been a student, I want to say, of the Bible my whole life. But there was a time period of about 10 years when I took my Bible and I did this. Put it in a box. Took it to my dad's house. And I walked in the world. I was still born again. I was still saved by grace. I was still his. In fact, I probably prayed to him more during the time I put my Bible up than I ever did before. Because I had to. Because I got myself into a lot of situations that I wasn't proud of. And I put it up and I didn't understand the new covenant. I didn't understand. If you'd asked me years ago, I said, well, the new covenant began when Jesus was born. Wrong answer. What did we just say? He was born under the law. Why? To redeem us from the law. So he subjected himself to the same thing as the people of Moses, people of Israel. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, and yet was sinless. Right? So the new covenant began. There it is, the cross. It is finished. Let me read you something, and this just goes to show you never know. You never know how God's going to use you. And let me read this to you. And I want to read this to you because, like I was saying, I even struggled with this for years. I didn't understand the new covenant. If you'd ask me what the new covenant was, I said, it's the name of a church down the road. They're kind of crazy people. New covenant. It's kind of spooky. Doesn't it sound kind of spooky? Well, I don't know if I want to be a part of that or not. I want to hang on to my old ways, my old stuff. The new covenant is no more than his blood shed for you. Now we're under grace. The law's been fulfilled. We don't have to do anything anymore. We don't have to do anything? No, we can rest. Jesus is literally our Sabbath. Remember when God said, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy? Who created that day? God did. On the seventh day, he rested, right? And then he comes along in Exodus and says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Then he comes along and gets on the cross, and now he's become our Sabbath. He's become our rest. That's amazing. We don't have to do anything anymore. We just believe by faith. Now we can rest. He rested from his works. We can rest from ours. How? In him. That's amazing. He says, hey, Chuck, this is Josh, the young fella you chatted with at the end of our flight to Istanbul, Turkey. We weren't going to Istanbul, we were going to Greece, but we were going in that direction. And I'll give you a little background here. I was reading my Bible on the plane for a long time. It's a long flight. I got a lot of reading in, put it up, and I'm relaxing. About 30 minutes left on the flight, I look over, the guy right next to me's got a Bible out. Young man, about Layton's age. I said, dude! You got a Bible. You're a believer. Yep. You don't see many young men with Bibles out. You see them with a lot of other things out, but not Bibles out. I'm like, dude, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to Turkey. We're going to this 2-week mission thing we're doing. Awesome. And for the next 25, 30 minutes, we engaged in this conversation. I thought nothing of it. I gave him my business card. I get home 2 weeks later, I get this message. Here it is. I just wanted to share with you how much of a blessing our conversation was. I like the words. How much of a blessing our conversation was. What was our conversation about? Jesus and his grace, okay? He says, I am convinced that God used you to deliver some much needed truth to my life. You shared with me how, because of the cross, it is finished. By the grace of God, we don't need to start our day with the weight of measuring up, but instead that every day is a new adventure with Jesus. I don't pretend that I described our conversation perfectly verbatim, but the way you spoke the truth for the last 25 minutes on the plane was as if God was using you to speak directly to me. I do truly believe he was, because despite knowing Jesus my whole life, now listen to this, despite knowing Jesus my whole life, I sorely needed that reminder as a Christian who occasionally struggles with the lie that I have to do more to be accepted by God. Our conversation has lingered in my mind for the past 2 weeks, and it's been a huge encouragement and perspective shifter. When you understand the grace, it shifts your perspective. When you see it, guys, when you see it, it's like, boom, the light bulb went on. The lights are on. You've been walking around in darkness. And when you truly see the grace, and he says, I've started my days with less weight and far more excitement. Guys, we can get excited. The whole world's falling apart out there, but we can get excited. Amen? And he says, as I get to go on an adventure with Jesus, every day, an adventure with Jesus. All this to say, thank you for reaching out to a complete stranger and speaking God's truth. I'm beyond grateful. Blessings, brother Josh. What do we got to do, guys? All we got to do is just embrace our life, open up our mouth, and speak the word of God. I don't know how many times I've been discouraged and I've been like, you know, I'm on my last straw here, God. I know you know this. I know I don't even need to pray because I know you already know my situation down here. I know that you already know this. Why aren't you showing up like I want you to show up? He said, I got something better for you, bro. Patience. Hang on. We hate that word, don't we, Bill? I know I hate that word. Patience. Okay, God, I've been waiting all my life. Did you forget about me? And this is what the people of Israel said. Moses hadn't been up on the mountain, and I know I'm going away from my sermon here, but it's okay. God's got something. Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days, and the people are like, I guess he abandoned us. 40 days? I guess he's not coming back. Let's party. Let's get on with our life. Let's make a golden calf, get drunk, have a big orgy. Sounds good to me. And that's what they did. And God says, you better get back down there, bro. They need a little guidance. And sometimes that's all we need is a little guidance in our life. And then you come along and you speak words into someone, Bill. Sometimes we need to receive. Sometimes we need to give. Sometimes we need the encouragement. Sometimes we need to give encouragement. You know, something that just takes all the time, what happens to it? It dies. The Great Salt Lake, all it does is take in all the mountains around, run the waters into the Great Salt Lake. Where's the outlet? There is none. What lives in it? Nothing That's why I call it the Dead Sea. Same thing, the Dead Sea. Everything runs into it, and it just takes and takes and takes. Give me, give me, give me more. And there's no outlet. That's why Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. And Jesus gave everything. He gave everything for you and me. Don't ever forget it. And God says it's finished. And I'm going to go real quick here. Growing up in grace and knowledge. Let's read this, 2 Peter. You guys read this with me. Therefore, dear friends, while you wait for these things. What are you waiting for? In your life, what are you waiting for? And while you wait for these things, make every effort to be found without spot or blemish in his sight at peace. How is that possible? You believe in Jesus Christ. You stand in the faith of Jesus Christ. You stand in the blood. You are now without spot or blemish. It's not a performance thing. It's not how am I doing today. Am I walking the straight and narrow? I didn't cuss today. Ah, I did good. I didn't have a beer today. I did really good. It's not about that. It's about having the blood on you or not. We are unblemished in his sight and at peace. Also regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our dear brother Paul has written to you according to the wisdom given to him. Now Peter's going to say Paul's not easy to understand, and he's not. He says he speaks about these things in all his letters. There are some things hard to understand. This is where Peter says Paul is sometimes hard to understand. Yes, because he has a conversation with himself a lot of times. And the untaught and unstable will twist them to their own destruction, as they also do with the rest of the scriptures. Guys, anybody twisting the scriptures, if you see them do it once, run, because they'll do it again. Anybody that says they have a new revelation and there's a new way, run. They're twisting it and they're going to lead you right to hell. Therefore, dear friends, since you know this in advance, be on your guard, men. We are, right? We are on our guard 24/7 because we have an enemy that seeks to devour you. Remember, he went to Peter and said, Peter, Peter, Satan has come to me and he desires to sift you like wheat, destroy you. Wow. But I've prayed for you, Jesus says. Woo! Come on. We can get excited about that. Jesus himself has prayed for you. Woo! If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Get back, Satan. You're not going to destroy me with alcohol. You're not going to destroy me with drugs. You're not going to destroy me with finances. You're not going to destroy me with worry or anxiousness. You're not going to destroy me with nothing. I'm standing in the blood by faith forever and ever for eternity. And no one can snatch me out of his hand. Let's get serious, guys. Understand who you are in him. He's got you. Even when you don't think he's got you, he's got you. He's going to rain down blessings on you. Just wait. Just be patient. Here he is. He says, be on your guard. You are not led away by the error of lawless people. What are lawless people? False teachers. Telling you a bunch of hogwash. Don't listen to them. But what? Grow in the what? Grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Grow in the grace and knowledge of him. We'll never, ever figure that out. Every day, God reveals something. Wow. I didn't see that. Wow. I didn't know that. Wow, that's cool. That's really cool. Just little nuggets that God will give you. But you got to be looking for them. It's like when I prayed a couple of weeks ago. And I said, God, I prayed a specific prayer.
Very specific. Say, God, you want me to pray? I'll pray. You want me to ask you? You said, ask me. Okay, I'm going to ask you. And it's going to be very specific. Da 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 da. And I added on to that, and I need this happen soon. 5 minutes later, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. 5 minutes later, boom, prayer answered. I go back out here, I'm mowing the grass. Yeah, I broke the window with a rock. Tried to take out Tom. I'm out there mowing the grass on the other side. You got a task we want to show Chuck. I just answered your prayer. The one you specifically prayed and said you need to see it soon. Bam! Your turn. Boom. What you got now? You think I'm not listening? You think I don't hear you? You think you can't trust me? Sometimes it's just validation. You ever prayed that prayer? You ever prayed that prayer? God, I need some validation that you love me and that you really care about me. I just need you to show up in my life in some little way. And then start looking for it and start expecting it because it's coming. But it can come and you don't even see it, just like me. It came and went just like I prayed. Not that God's a magician and you go, you know, abracadabra or something like that. No, but God sometimes wants to bless you and we don't receive it because we're not looking for it. We're looking for it in the way we want it to happen, the way we want it to turn out. We're thinking, you know, God, this is what I want to see happen. I want that new Mercedes-Benz with those shiny spoke wheels with the Bose stereo. And I want it to be paid off. Yeah. Name it, claim it. Well, it didn't happen. Well, God has something better for you. It's not something that will rust and rot and decay and cost you thousands of dollars to keep it up. It's a little thing called peace. And it's a little thing called grace. And it's a little thing called knowledge. Because the Bible talks about their beginning of knowledge. You can't even have knowledge without the fear of the Lord. Not scary, not being scared of him, but just understanding who he is and what he's done for you. That kind of fear, that kind of respect, kind of going, wow, that's my Lord. That's my true father. Here it is, Father's Day. You want to know who your true father is? Grow in the grace and knowledge. Grow in peace. Here it is. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace. We're not fighting God anymore. We don't have to go out and say, God, you know, I know I messed up, but I'm going to make atonement for it. I'm going to do some good stuff. You know, we go around, let me see. I think my life is balancing out here now. I did all this bad stuff. Now, look, I'm doing all this good stuff. So here, I'm kind of balancing out. No. God destroyed all that, all the scales. So there's nothing good you can do. Just trust in me. We have peace with our Lord. We're not fighting God. There's plenty of people fighting God out there. No King's Day? Huh? Wait until the King of Kings shows up. No King. Wait! We're protesting no kings. Why, I am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're not going to like him either. The people out there protesting no king, they're not going to like the real king. Because the real king is righteous and holy and just. We say God is not fair. God is not fair. If God was fair, we'd all go to hell. Get what we deserve. God's not fair. He's just. He's righteous. He's holy. We have peace with God through faith. Growing up in rest. How many people need rest? Raise your hand. We need rest. When you think about that Sabbath day, you know, God didn't make
Man was not, the Sabbath was not made, God didn't make the Sabbath for man. Man was made for the Sabbath. I get it mixed up. But anyway, God is saying that the Sabbath day was made for rest. Yes. Yeah. And the Sabbath was made for us to have rest. And he is our Sabbath. And he says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. What did Abraham do? Believed God. Now to the one who works, pay is not credited as a gift, but as something owed. But to the one who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the who? Ungodly. His faith is credited for righteousness. Amen. Growing up justified. Everybody say 324. 324. Remember that the rest of your life. Because you know what I grew up? I had this memorized. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I had that one memorized. Well, I could quote that all day long. Because I was a good Baptist. Boy, we go around beating people on the head with the Bible. Get back in church, Tanya. You get back in there and behave yourself. I've been watching you. All of sin have fallen short of the glory of God. But I never read 24. They're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. Woo! Wow, whoa, boy, you can't touch that one. Don't ever quote 23 without quoting 24. If you go around saying, all sin falls short, you better say what the answer is. You better give them the answer. But you're justified freely by his grace. All you got to do is believe. Amen? 324. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. Growing up a new life. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death. This is not talking about water baptism. This is talking about dying, being baptized into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we may too walk in the what? Newness of life. Newness of life. Every day is new, guys. Every day. I know, I do it too. I wake up and go, another day. You know, what's the purpose? Where are we going here, God? Where's this train going? Because sometimes it don't seem to be going anywhere. We're just smoking the wheels. You ever done a burnout? I've never done that. We're just smoking the wheels. And you know, it's fun when you're sitting there smoking the wheels, but then you got to pay for the new tires. So I didn't smoke mine very much because I had to work hard for my money. But where's this train going, guy? Newness. Newness. Oh, behold, I want to do a new thing. Behold, I make all things new. Forget the things in the past. Don't remember the things of the old. That's Isaiah all over again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? An old worn out creation? No, a new creation. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. And see, the new has come. What is that newness? That's that hope that we have that the world doesn't have. That's that hope that Jeremiah talks about. Looking to the good Father, looking to the Lord, having hope that things are going to get better no matter what's happening right now. Things are going to get better. And you know, when you get cancer and we got, you know, Bill's friend, his wife's got cancer, you know, and we say, God, you know, we pray for healing. Yes, we do. But we talk about what's that ultimate healing? Going to be with your true Father. We're all going to go there, guys. That's the ultimate healing, going to be with our true Father. What do we got to do? Believe. Growing up complete. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men. How many religions are out there, guys? Thousands. I think I Googled it one time. There's 4,000 different religions and then little denominations and little spurn-offs. Well, we believe in speaking in tongues in here. Blah, 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 blah. Dude, shut up. I can't understand a word you're saying. You know, last time somebody prayed in tongues over me, I said, could you explain that in English? Because I don't speak that. Well, I was praying in the spirit. You didn't feel anything? No, I did not. God ain't a feeling. He's a knowing. He's more than a feeling. He's a knowing. And he says, according to the elementary principles of the world rather than to Christ, for in him all the fullness of the deity dwells. That's Jesus Christ, man. So, Jesus never said he was God. Well, seriously? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If that's not claiming you're God, what is? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Here it is again. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. In him you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us some of our transgressions. No, all. Having canceled out their certificate of debt. Oh, he just put your little debt up on a shelf. He's going to remember it. When you come up to heaven, you're going to have to make an account. That's a lie from the pit of hell. He's canceled it. Boy, that's a good feeling. Boy, I'd love it if my credit union or my mortgage company called me up. Hey, Chuck, good news. Your debt's canceled. What? Are you kidding me right now? Yeah, like forever, done, canceled. That's the freedom we walk in, guys. That's the freedom we walk in. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. The law was hostile to us, guys, because we couldn't do it. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it. And I'm just going to stop right there, because when we think about it, guys, everything, all our sin is gone. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, which means infinity. I think I've explained this before. If I say, hey, guys, we're going to get on our motorcycles and we're going to drive to the North Pole. We'll eventually get there. Well, with the help of a helicopter, maybe, to get the bike over the ice. We eventually get there. Hey, well, let's go to South Pole. You know, the North Pole is kind of boring. Let's go to South Pole. We'll eventually get there. But if we got on our motorcycles right now in Heber City, Utah, and said, let's drive east, we would be going forever. Well, we might have to take a few ships. But the direction of travel would be, we'd be going east forever. How long are we going to go east? We do as we're going east. Well, let's go west. Okay, we'll go west. Isn't it just amazing how the words in the Bible that are even chosen, the specific east and west, he's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Eternity. And he remembers them no more. Growing up complete is growing up in him, guys. We're not children anymore. We're not under the laws. We don't need a tutor. We don't need a guardian. We don't need someone to tell us what's right and wrong. We know what's right and wrong. He has given us a new heart. Now that we know, let's pray that we have the strength to walk in that. Let's pray that God will keep us away from the evil one who wants to tempt us and deceive us. Take a bite of this. You'll feel better. Get away from me, you devil. Take a drink of this. Your problems will go away. Get away from me, you liar. Let's pray that God protects us and he establishes us as he already has. But he holds us and he gives us strength. We need it. We need strength. We need peace. We need rest. And we're going to find it all in him. Trust him today. Pray specific prayers. I keep saying this. Pray specific prayers. Sit down and wait. He's coming. He's going to show up. He promised he would. He said he would. Do you believe it? Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for the fathers that are here today. Thank you for the mothers. Thank you for the men, the women, the whatever. We thank you for just being with us, Lord, and creating us and fashioning us and leading us and guiding us into all truth. We pray your Holy Spirit, Lord, continues to pour out in our lives nothing but the truth. We thank you for your grace. You know what we need, Father. We ask, Lord, that you show us this week exactly how you want us to walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.